time now for the Saturday Morning News, brought to you by Boyd Furniture and Mattress Center in downtown Wayne City, where you get everyday low prices on Serta, Ashley, Catnapper, and Benchcraft Furniture. Today's WFIW weather calling for mostly sunny skies. There is a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms today, a high near 90 expected. Mostly cloudy tonight, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, a low around 69. I'm Darren Cuddle reporting. The Wayne City Grade School and High School will have graduation ceremonies tonight. Both will air on WFIW-FM 104.9 and WFIWradio.com and be live streamed on the station's website. The high school graduation will be held at 5 p.m., and the grade school graduation will take place at 7 p.m. The school is allowing 10 guests per graduate. Families will be allowed to stay and view the entire ceremony. The radio station's Derek Dunn will host the radio and live video stream, sponsored by FNB, Barnard Soil Service, and Mark Dinsmore, Country Financial. More news after this break.
John's Butcher Block in downtown Fairfield remains committed to their community. They will continue to open their doors for you as long as they can during this coronavirus outbreak. It is business as usual. Thank you for supporting them as they support you. Hashtag, we are all in this together. John's Butcher Block accepts cash, check, and all major credit cards and link card. They are located across from the Fairfield City Hall.
Rothrock Auctions will have an online-only auction for Loudermilk equipment in West Salem. Bidding will open Saturday, July 11th and close Thursday, July 16th at 7 p.m. Visit rothrockauction.com to register to bid. Register to bid for a land leveler, John Deere lawnmowers and parts, agricultural implements, tires, attachments, and more. Items are located at two separate locations. For a complete listing and to view photos, visit rothrockauctions.com. Rothrock Auctions, Mark Rothrock Auctioneer.
Well, if your power was out in Fairfield for a time overnight or early this morning, cause may have been a power pole reported snapped at People's National Bank in Fairfield overnight or early this morning. No other details were immediately available. The Illinois Department of Public Health Friday announced 1,317 new cases of coronavirus in Illinois, along with 25 additional deaths. Friday's deaths coming from Cook, Cass, DuPage, Lake, McHenry, Peoria, Will, and Winnebago counties. The IDPH reporting a total of 151,767 cases, including 7,144 deaths in all 102 counties in Illinois. Within the past 24 hours, laboratories have reported 32,987 specimens for a total of 1,911,743. The preliminary 7-day statewide positivity for cases as a percent of total tests from July 3rd through 9th is 2.9%. As of Thursday night, 1,436 people in Illinois were reported to be in the hospital with COVID-19. Of those, 306 patients were in the ICU and 155 patients with COVID-19 were on ventilators. The Egyptian Health Department was notified Friday of three southeastern Illinois residents who have tested positive for the coronavirus. The individuals include a White County female in her 20s, a Saline County female in her 20s, and a Saline County female in her 60s. All are at home and in isolation. These are the 15th and 16th lab-confirmed positive cases of COVID-19 in Saline County and the 9th in White County, according to the Egyptian Health Department, the Illinois Department of Public Health, their health care providers, and the individuals have all been notified and are monitoring the situation. Little Wabash River east of Fairfield, as of this morning, at 6.18 feet, flood stage is 17 feet. At Clay City, the river's at 5.64 feet below its 18-foot flood stage. At Carmi, the stage is 4.48 feet, flood stage 27 feet. Skillet Fork at Wayne City at 5.15 feet, flood stage is 15 feet. And the Wabash at Mount Carmel at 4.89 feet, flood stage is 19 feet. The McLeansboro Kiwanis have announced the cancellation of this year's McLeansboro Fall Festival due to the COVID-19 virus and the regulations issued by the state of Illinois involving ride certification and crowd sizes. It's been determined that it would be impossible to present a quality festival safely for all that would have attended. Organizers are grateful for those who have participated as vendors, sponsors, or volunteers, and they hope the Fall Festival will be back next year, and look forward to the Hamilton County 200th Bicentennial Celebration. Registration for the upcoming school year for students in the Jasper Grade School District is set for Monday, July 27th from noon to 6 p.m. Parents are encouraged to register their children on that date. Parents of kindergarten students who pre-registered at Jasper in the spring also need to complete the registration process on Monday the 27th. Children will be eligible to attend school this year if they'll be 5 years of age on or before September 1st. Parents of all students must provide proof of residency in the school district by showing a current piece of non-junk mail or renter's receipt. Parents of new students should bring a certified copy of their child's birth certificate and immunization records. Fees for the school year will be $40, payable at registration. The first day of school for students for the 2020-2021 school year is set for August 14th. Skateland Roller Sport in Fairfield has announced their reopening this coming Thursday, July 16th. The facility was closed earlier this year due to damage from fire and smoke. Skateland says new lights and a new paint job will be part of their reopening this coming Thursday. The boil order for residents in the city of Grayville has been lifted, according to Joelle and Seal, the city clerk for the city of Grayville. The second consecutive satisfactory sample results came back from their IEPA-approved laboratory about 10:30 Friday morning. Residents of the city of Grayville no longer have to boil water to be used for human consumption. Due to the recent developments concerning COVID-19 in Alney and Richland County, including patrons of the Musgrove Aquatic Center in Alney being exposed to the virus, the city of Alney has decided to temporarily close the Musgrove Aquatic Center until further notice. The city of Alney is continuing to monitor the coronavirus updates from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the state of Illinois, and from the Richland County TB and Public Health Office. It's growing season in Illinois, but that doesn't mean farm safety isn't any less important. Megan Shosso is with the Upper Midwest Agricultural Safety and Health Center.
And I took a look at what are the main incidents in Illinois. I mean, I think they're pretty consistent throughout the Midwest, but in the past year, almost everything fell into three buckets, and those were roadway tractor incidents, so rolling a tractor vehicle incident, something related to a grain bin, so that could be an engulfment or entrapment or getting entangled in equipment, and then lastly, ATVs or UTVs, and with those, we see a lot of kids. So, you know, any of those three areas, this tool is going to be really helpful with, and those are all activities that happen, you know, nearly year-round. So those are three areas that I really try to talk about a lot because those are where we're seeing the most serious injuries and a lot of fatalities. It's no secret the number of grain bin incidents we've been seeing, and if we can prevent any number of those, that makes it all the more worth it.
UMass is promoting a safety initiative called Stop, Think, Act while working on the farm. While coronavirus cases continue to rise, President Trump is threatening to pull federal funding for schools if they don't open in the fall. However, one Illinois lawmaker says it should be up to the schools to make the decision. That's the opinion of U.S. Representative Rodney Davis of Taylorville.
I certainly hope that we can get to a point where it's not a pulling federal funding because schools won't open. I know schools are going to do the best they can to deal with outbreaks, and the same flexibility that I want to give states to be able to address their own coronavirus issues, without a national plan that would be too bureaucratic and cumbersome. I want local school districts to also have that control to be able to make decisions that are best for their families and students.
Davis added that the coronavirus pandemic has turned more into a political issue rather than a health issue. That's the news. Area deaths are next.
Others have come and gone in the past 70 years, but our dedication to superior service and free delivery has helped us thrive for four generations at Rush Appliance in Fairfield and Carmine. We deliver our quality products for free, and then if you ever call us for service, we're in your driveway almost before you hang up your phone. This is Sean Rush inviting you to manage your home the way you want, easier, faster, and smarter with Rush Appliance and Furniture Company in downtown Fairfield and Carmine.
Are you stressing about where money will come from in the future? Come into Trust Bank and they can help. They have retirement plans, investment accounts, health savings accounts, and more. Call them today at 618-395-4311 or stop by their Cisney branch at 401 Park Street for more information. Trust Bank, growing prosperity together. Member FDIC.
Area deaths are brought to you by Nails Funeral Home in Fairfield and Albion. Nails Funeral Home, locally owned and operated, serving the area with professionalism and care in your family's time of need. 71-year-old Xenia resident Philip Eugene Sefton died at his home on July 9th from complications of lung fibrosis. He was a graduate of Flora High School. Surviving are his wife, Kathy, a son, Jeremy Sefton of Xenia, a daughter, Shelley Slifer of Mode, four grandchildren, an aunt, Bernita Porter of Louisville, and special adopted family member, Carissa McCulley. Visitation for Philip Eugene Sefton will be from 4 to 8 p.m. Tuesday at the Frank and Bright Funeral Home in Flora. The graveside ceremony will be conducted at 10 a.m. Wednesday at Oskaloosa Cemetery. Those attending are asked to go directly to the cemetery. A burial will be in Oskaloosa Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be donated to the Flora FFA, Clay County 4-H, or the Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation, and will be accepted at the funeral home. 93-year-old Albion resident Daryl Sawyer died July 10th at Rest Haven Manor in Albion. He was a veteran of World War II and worked in construction as a supervisor and enjoyed farming. He was a member of the Samaria Baptist Church. Surviving are daughter Debbie Perkins, two sons Steve Sawyer and Randy Sawyer, 10 grandchildren, 20 great-grandchildren and 3 great-great-grandchildren, a brother, Alan Sawyer, also survives. A graveside service for Daryl Sawyer will be held at 10 a.m. Tuesday at the Samaria Baptist Church Cemetery. Military rites will be conducted at the graveside. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to the Samaria Baptist Church. The Ingram Meredith Funeral Home in Albion is in charge of the arrangements. Well-known Carmi businessman, 95-year-old Paul A. Schumacher, died July 9th. Surviving are three daughters, Teresa Lynn Mears of Benton, Kentucky, Carol Ann Ackerman of Mount Vernon, Indiana, and Paula Jean Bulliber of Carmi, a sister, Phyllis Jane Bulliber, and a sister-in-law, Doris Stark, 8 grandchildren, and several nieces and nephews also survive. Funeral services for Paul A. Schumacher will be private at the Cook Funeral Chapel in Carmi. Burial will be in White County Memorial Gardens. Memorials may be made to the Emmanuel United Methodist Church at 203 Edgewood Lane in Carmi and will be accepted at the Cook Funeral Chapel in Carmi. 94-year-old Sims resident James E. Fenton died at 9:15 p.m. July 7th at Wabash Christian Village. He was a veteran of the U.S. Navy, a member of the Hopewell Cemetery Board and the Barry School Board, and a past road commissioner of Arrington Township. Surviving are four sons, James Leon Fenton of Johnsonville, LaVon Fenton of Sims, Herb Fenton of Fairfield, and Regine Fenton of Sims, 12 grandchildren and numerous great-grandchildren, nieces, and nephews. Cremation rites have been accorded. The Richardson Funeral Home in Wayne City is in charge of the arrangements. 88-year-old Fairfield resident Mildred Bashore died Wednesday at Cisney Rehabilitation and Healthcare Center. She worked in the housekeeping department at Cisney Rehabilitation and Healthcare and worked at Fairfield Memorial Hospital for many years. Surviving are a son, Craig Bashore of Jeff, two grandchildren, four great-grandchildren, and two great-great-grandchildren. No formal services will be held for Mildred Bashore due to COVID-19. Mildred's final resting place will be at the Cisney Cemetery. Memorials can be made to the donor's choice and will be accepted at the Hosselden Meredith Funeral Home in Cisney, which is in charge of the arrangements. 69-year-old Fairfield resident Michael D. Smith died at 3:15 Thursday morning at Linda E. White Hospice Center in Evansville. He had been a farmer most of his life. Surviving are a special niece, Joyce Koontz of Fairfield, three great-nephews, Justin, Aaron, and Sean Webb, former stepson, Dennis Nelson, and a former grandson, Tony Sneeze, all of Fairfield, along with other nieces and nephews. Per the family's request, Michael Smith's body's been cremated with no formal services or burial. Memorial donations can be made to help with funeral expenses and can be dropped off or mailed to the Johnson and Vaughn Funeral Home in Fairfield, which is in charge of the arrangements. A reminder, if you missed any of our obituaries, they're updated regularly at WFIWradio.com. I'm Darren Cottle reporting.
You saved, you scrimped, and finally that hot new car is yours and you're in love. Just make sure she's insured with the best auto coverage you can find. Talk to your local Pekin insurance agent about complete auto coverage, and don't forget to ask about the variety of discounts available for your sweet ride. Request a quote at PekinInsurance.com. In Flora and Cisney, contact Bill Atwood at 662-7000 and put their Beyond the Expected service to work for you.
In the past, Wabash Communications Co-op required a phone line in order to get our internet service, but no more. We now offer internet-only plans featuring fast and reliable connections at a great value. Wabash offers speeds up to 1 gig. That's not the only good news. Our internet-only plans also come with free installation and the support of our local technicians and customer service. To get internet-only, you only have to call 618-665-3311. Service speeds and availability will depend on the location. Contact us for details.
Here was a look at the weather forecast today. Looking at a slight chance of showers and storms. Otherwise, mostly sunny, calling for a high of 90 underneath a slight risk for severe weather as well. Tonight, a 40% chance of showers and storms. Otherwise, mostly cloudy, a low of 69. Sunday, a 30% chance of showers and storms. A partly sunny forecast, high 86. And then looking ahead to Monday, sunny with a high of 86. Tuesday, sunny with a high of 90. Wednesday, slight chance of showers and storms, partly sunny, high of 92. And then for Thursday, slight chance of showers and storms, otherwise partly sunny, forecast high 92. Yesterday's high in Fairfield was 89. Our low this morning was 67. No rain out there in the rain gauge at all. And currently in Fairfield underneath sunny skies, a beautiful morning out there. It is a 77.